Hi, this is Alina and Megan, and you're listening to Move Your Brain, Move Your Body podcast, where we dive into all things health, wellness, and fitness.
We are two certified athletic trainers, personal trainers, and nutrition coaches who met and graduated together from the University of Arkansas. And we want to do this podcast to spread our joy about treating our bodies well through nutrition, exercise, and knowledge.
Today on Move Your Brain, Move Your Body podcast, we welcome Crystal Thomas. Crystal is a former collegiate D1 athlete and also a former professional indoor volleyball player before she became a personal trainer and movement specialist. She integrates Postural Restoration Institute techniques with her current client programming, and she integrates that with all her clients, whether they're recovering from an injury or performing at their highest level. She's very passionate about working one-on-one with her clients to eliminate pain and remove fear of movement as they return to their fitness and their daily life activities and the things that they love to do. She lives in California. She has three dogs and she lives with her husband, Eric. Her dogs are all different ages. She decided to give me the ages in her bio and I thought it was hilarious. So hopefully I say these dogs' names right, but she has Hula, who's 11 and a half, Dice is 2, and Chico, age is a mystery. Crystal is so upbeat, and on this podcast specifically, we talk about tongue tie release, and her journey with her own tongue tie, and how it changed her view on movement and her life as she got her own tongue tie released. She is very informative and very knowledgeable in this episode. Such a fun personality to have on the show, and we know you're going to learn something with this episode, so we just hope you enjoy and check out our episode with Crystal Thomas. Stay tuned for more. So today on Move Your Brain, Move Your Body podcast, we have Crystal Thomas all the way from San Diego in really beautiful weather. And both Megan and I are quite jealous of that. But let's just get started because you have so much to share and we're just so happy to have you on. So
yeah, I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, and how you got into what you're doing today.
So I am currently a personal trainer and I got into it because I was an athlete. I was a collegiate volleyball player and then I played pro overseas in Europe. And when I retired, fitness was a really natural transition for me. I've been doing it my whole life, so why not help other people move as well? And then I got into more of a PRI-focused approach because of a friend who's a physical therapist, and she was kind of helping me with my aches and pains from, you know, jumping up and down and beating a ball with my hand for 15 years. And she had given me these exercises, like just basic things that I couldn't even do, and it kind of blew my mind. And then she was like, you just need to go take a course. And that kind of started my deep dive. I think I really loved the interaction of working with people in person setting. And I got the good fortune of working at a gym where the owner had had major back issues and he was really into like posture and position. And the method that we were using, it was interesting to me. But then when the PRI door opened, it was like, oh, this actually fixes people. Like what I was doing was helping them for the moment, for the workout. And then they would go home and everything would just come back. And so after experiencing it myself and how freaking hard it was, and I'm like, I'm an athlete and I can't even do this. Like what? So yeah, it kind of drove me down this path of anatomy, which I was a business major. I didn't learn any anatomy or anything like that. So this has been like 6 years of just starting to understand movement and the body in a totally different way and a different approach too. I think as an athlete, my approach was, you know, work harder, just keep working harder, putting more hours, putting more reps, do more. And I found myself at this place of like burnout with like work, working out, digestive issues, all of these things. And again, my friend, the physical therapist, Deanna, was like, well, let's look at your gut. Like what's going on with you? I mean, I was like bloated all the time, uncomfortable. I was having like super fatigue. I would go to sleep at like 2 p.m. and like wake up at 7 with like the second wind of energy and just crazy weird stuff that I'm like, why now? Like what? And I think for me, it was that I had been living in this just state of fight or flight. What team am I going to? Where am I going? Where am I going to live? When am I going to see my family again? Are they going to pay me this month? Like just this constant roller coaster. And then finally setting into like a routine, which I've never, you know, I'd never lived in the same place for more than 2 years. I'd never had a job for more than 2 years. Like, I just was on the move, on the move, on the move. And now as I was settling down, it was like my body was like, what is homeostasis? Like, what is that? I don't know. Like, so it was kind of an uncomfortable learning curve for me. But as I started to kind of dive deeper into what is going on in my body, that's where the tongue tie issue came up. So through working with DNA, I did a lot of like gut health, kind of deep diving into like my DNA and what my body needs and like supplementing to kind of heal my gut. And as I was doing that, my brain started to clear up. My body felt better. Aches and pains felt better. But still, I kept having, you know, through doing the PRI, through doing working out the way that I knew worked for my body now, I still kept coming back to these same aches and pains. And I'm like, okay, I'm frustrated. I can help other people. I can help other people fix their problems. And I can't fix myself. Like, what is going on? And I had a client who was a dental hygienist. And we're talking about her rib cage. And I mean, her handlebars of those ribs are driving towards the sky. She's so up here. And she was like, well, I'm tongue tied. And I'm like, what do you mean? And we started talking about it. And as I'm talking, she was like, you're tongue tied. Like, just stopped me. It was like,
wow.
You're tongue-tied. You need to call this person. Talk to her. So I reached out to a local dentist and talked to her. She's like, I don't do adults. I don't mess with adults. That's a whole different thing. And I'm like, what do you mean? I'm going to find someone who does it. And so I found a local dentist who did it and did it. I'll put some air quotes there. No myofunctional therapy. I was like, I'm going to get in. I'm going to fix this. It's going to be great. Used a laser, had a procedure, and I felt relief. And then as it kept healing, everything started coming back because I didn't do anything to kind of own the new mobility that I had. And as the scar tissue healed, you know, it just went back to my tongue staying on the bottom of my mouth. And so then I went to a myofunctional therapist that the local dentist referred me to. She works with children. She was trained by Dr. Gahiri up in Portland, who's kind of like leading in the kind of infant and toddler tongue tie realm. I have actually several friends who traveled from out of the area to just go see him for their infant's release because there was no one in our area that specialized in a posterior tie release. And so when you're looking at the tongue, I think the easiest explanation is like you have a sailboat. You have the sail and you have the mast. And so when you're looking at a tongue, everyone has a frenulum. That doesn't mean you're tongue tied, right? You have that tissue attachment. That doesn't mean you're tied. But if that deeper muscle tissue is shortened and tied, tethered to the floor of your mouth or tight, then you don't have that mobility. And so when I had the release, it cut the frenulum, but he never actually got into the musculature of the tongue, which is essentially where the function is coming from. And so if that was never released, I never actually got a true release. And so it was interesting. You think about like after you cut the sail down, all of a sudden you can see the mast. And as soon as he released the sail, that frenulum, the front part of the attachment, all of a sudden I could see the muscles of the tongue. And it was like, I'm not professionally comfortable going farther because it was muscle. I mean, I'm glad he didn't because I could have had nerve damage or something. Yeah. So it was at that point I was like, okay, I need to figure this out. I talked to the dentist. She referred me to the myofunctional therapist and I started to see her last November. The tie was in November. I started to see her in like January, February. So not even a year ago. And immediately she was like, yeah, you do have a posterior tie, meaning the mast was still attached fully. So
anterior versus posterior. Tell us a little bit about the difference. Like, we're going to dive real into tongue ties today as Megan is showing us her.
I'm looking at mine.
I don't think you have one.
I don't, but I'm looking at my frenulum. Is that like a tendon? Is that the tendon?
It's just like fascia. It's just like tissue. It's just an attachment. It's not forming any like function.
Vestigial.
It restricts. Okay. Yeah, but it restricts function if it's attached too far. So for me, I coached volleyball. I started asking the girls on my team, like, so guys, can you guys like touch the roof of your mouth with your tongue? And they looked at me like I was from another planet, like
because they all could. Yeah.
Yes. And I was like, when your mouth's open, you can't touch the roof of their mouth. And they're like, yeah, we can. And I'm like, so when it's closed, does your tongue like touch the roof of your mouth? And they were like, yes, idiot, it does. And I'm like, oh, yeah, yeah, cool. I'm just, like, asking for a friend. I definitely, yeah, mine too, mine too. Yeah, mine touches the roof of my mouth. And I was like, oh, my God, so this is, like, a weird thing. And the roof of my mouth is almost like if you look at, like, the roof of a dog's mouth. It was super just rugged and raw and, like, hard because nothing has ever smoothed it out. And I wish I would have taken a photo of the roof of my mouth then and now because now it's just, like, smooth, soft, like a normal palate is. So that front part of my tie originally before the dentist did the first revision, it was all the way to the tip. So
yeah. And you have pictures on your Instagram too.
I do. Yeah. Cause I thought I was sticking my tongue out like really far. I was really proud of how far I could stick my tongue out. And really it was like, I mean, I could barely clear the front of my teeth. So
I have a question. So my best friend, she has a 1.5 year old and he was born with a tongue tie. I've heard several people that have recently had kids like, oh, my baby has a tongue tie. We're going to get that taken care of. So is this like a recent like realization in dentistry or?
I think it's more of, there's more collaboration between like dentists, feeding specialists, lactation specialists,
because everybody wants
pediatricians, ENTs. I think people are starting to collaborate more and the education, there's more studies around it and around the long-term impacts. There's definitely doctors like in my area specifically that I know of that, you know, it's not a real thing. Nurses having to sign gag orders to not discuss like, hey, your kid can't latch because it's a tongue tie. They're like, I didn't tell you, but you should go see someone about that. Don't tell anyone I told you, because there's this like conception that it's like a fad. It's not a real thing. It's just like cool for the moment to get a tongue tie release. And I think that there's more understanding about it and people are looking for it more. And so you're seeing it more. I have clients that I know have tongue ties, but they're, you know, in their 50s. No one was looking for it then. We didn't know what we were looking for.
Even 20 years ago, 25, 30 years ago, I don't think it was looked for. And even if you couldn't latch as a baby, I don't think that was ever brought up. It was just, okay.
No, it was the mom's fault probably.
Yeah.
You're incompetent. Your baby can't breastfeed.
But I think it should be normal for a kid to latch. It shouldn't be a struggle. And if it is, then you have to look deeper.
And I think they're starting to ask those questions now of like, why is this happening more frequently? Or is it, we're actually looking for it. So right. I don't know what the verdict is there, but my myofunctional therapist told me yesterday, she was like, it wasn't until 2012 that they understood all of the inner workings and the intricacies of the soft palate. Like that's not that long ago.
They're just now starting
to understand the importance and the like, just the collaboration of like the importance of the facial muscles and the tongue and how it actually correlates with the rest of the body.
Yeah. I mean, it's learning like a system.
Yeah.
If you can't comfortably rest the tongue to the roof of your mouth, there's numerous studies of the other systems that it can affect. So maybe actually talk a little bit about that or just in general, we'll also talk about how you can tell if you have a tongue tie, but maybe let's talk first about what systems it can impact.
So for me, I think that that's as an adult, obviously I don't need to breastfeed anymore. I'm good there. Never did. But I never, wasn't something to ask. Like, as I started to ask my friends, like, hey, did you guys breastfeed? They're like, I don't know. You know, right. It's not like my mom is like, so this is what your infanthood was like. Like, I didn't know that I didn't breastfeed until I was like, hey, mom, I could like latch okay as a baby. And she's like, no, you're a bottle baby. I'm like, oh. And also, you didn't sleep through the night until you were 3. Here's the thing. My sister was born when I was 3. I probably wasn't sleeping through the night at 3, but she had a newborn to worry about now. So good luck getting to sleep, you know? So I started to notice just the correlation of all of the symptoms. The more that I start, more research I started to do, it was like, oh, I had allergies. Oh, I had sinus infections every year growing up. I didn't sleep through the night. Who knows until how old I was until I slept through the night. And then it was interrupted.
Did you like bite your nails or anything? Because I know that there's a big thing with that too.
Did I or do I?
Do you? Yeah.
Yeah.
Or chew on pen caps and stuff?
No, it was always my fingernails. My mom, it's still, I even had clients that would be like, stop doing that. It's like that oral fixation. Uh-huh. Chewing gum. I was always chewing gum constantly. Yeah, sleep. What's some other things?
Butt
the braces. Braces. So like early on, things that I'm looking back at my childhood, I started to have like orthodontics at the age of, I think, 4th grade. So I was probably like 10.
Me too. Wow.
Like full mouth retainer. That was cute. What is it called?
The rubber bands or whatever.
Oh my God. Headgear. Thank you. Because my upper jaw is so far forward, what should we do? We should pull it back, right? Let's pull this back. And really understanding what Dr. Zaghi was explaining, he's like, I hate to tell you, but all the orthodontics you did, all they did was close your airway even more. And I'm like, cool, but my teeth are straight. Like, yay. And honestly, I've always had very straight upper teeth. It was my lower jaw that was always crooked. And now I understand why. I was never breastfeeding. I never had that dissension of the jaw where it lengthens and comes forward so that it could create space for the teeth. As soon as the jaw lengthens, you have room for those teeth. Your face lengthens. I started to look at the shape of my face to have this narrow as my husband. It's funny, all the things that he like lovingly teases me about, I'm like, oh my God, you were like onto something. Like, you choke on air. You're the only person I know that chokes on air. Like, who does that? Or just for no reason at all, like, I'll just be sitting there and all of a sudden just, what were you doing? Oh, just breathing.
People probably think you have COVID.
Nothing special. I was just breathing, choking on food, choking, drinking water, like you name it. And I've choked doing that thing just because I didn't know how to breathe and separate because I didn't have that motion of the tongue pushing things back and closing my airway afterwards. It was like gulping things down. And I think the long-term effects of that with my digestion ended up being the dysbiosis in my gut and just, you know, having all these sinus infections. I've had years now of antibiotics and never probiotics or gut healthy food. And I think another thing that my mom would definitely, now she's like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. Like, I didn't realize. I'm like, it's not your fault. I don't blame you at all. You didn't know that I was a picky eater. I wasn't just being like, you know, a pain in your ass. I was a picky eater because I felt like I was gagging when you wanted me to eat broccoli because I could not move the food around in my mouth. I wasn't trying to be a pain in your ass when I couldn't go to sleep. I just kept waking myself up because I was never closing my mouth. My tongue was never resting on the roof of my mouth and I was never able to get to sleep. I would wake myself up by trying to breathe. And so the food thing was a big thing. I've always had an issue with like certain consistencies, even with the orthodontics. By the time I got braces and they would go in there deeply doing all the molds, I was gagging and throwing up. I would gag and throw up at the dentist. They had to do like bite blocks because I could never open my jaw wide enough whenever I did have dental work. Lots of cavities growing up. And it wasn't like I was this sugar crazy kid, but when your mouth is open and the saliva dries out, that's what's protecting your teeth. And now you're just breathing in whatever is in the air with no filter because your nose is your filter. So if I'm sleeping all night long, breathing in all of this stuff with no filter and my saliva's drying up, of course it's going to create cavities. Like I had sensitive teeth. I used the, you know, Sensodyne toothpaste because I have sensitive teeth, but no doctor ever said, wow, you have this, this, and this. We should look deeper into that. Or, huh, you can't open your jaw. Your tongue doesn't move at all. Like something's wrong. So I don't blame those practitioners. I just don't think that they knew what to even be looking for.
Which is sad.
But yeah. Even my dentist now, I'm like, I still have a bar retainer in my lower jaw. And I'm like, yeah, let's get that taken off because that's still a neurological reference for the resting place of my tongue. And I'm trying to retrain instead of thrusting and swallowing. All of the myofunctional therapy I'm working on right now is to retrain the swallow. So I'm not using my facial muscles because it's incredible. Some of the exercises I do, I'm like, why is my lip so tired up here? Well, I'm using it to swallow instead of using my tongue. So just these, like all of these things that the more I learned, the more I was like, oh yeah, this is me. Oh yeah, that's me too. So it's been very educational process on my end. And I've had the opportunity to, I mean, I purposely sought out the Breathe Institute in LA on the recommendation of the local dentist because she was like, I don't do adults, but this guy does and this institute does and this is what they specialize in. And that's what you want. Not all practitioners are created equal, and that goes for any industry. Not all personal trainers or physical therapists or dentists are created equal. And the same goes for this because I kept saying like, oh, well, I just need to go see an ENT. And the feedback I kept getting was like, well, yeah, but are they well-versed in this? Are they doing the new research that's coming out? Are they educating themselves to find out what they should be looking for? Because the symptoms speak louder than the actual like visual appearance. Like And it's not that, oh, I can't stick out my tongue, so I'm tongue-tied. It's what is the deeper musculature? What is the resting position of your tongue? How is that influencing your entire posture of your body? I'm looking back, even I had done some Rolfing right after the first release, like the day after. I was like, let's go in, release the floor in my mouth, release my face. And I walked in the door and she looked at me and she goes, you didn't get your tongue released. I was like, I didn't even open my mouth. And this woman sees so many people that have had this done mostly on infants. But she was like, you have cheek buckles and a lip tie. And I was like, what in hoo-hoo? What is that? So even when I thought I was figuring out what was going to fix me, I found out there were more things that go into it. And when my tongue never widened the palate of my mouth, now I have this very narrow mouth. And that attachment, just like the frenulum on my tongue, now I had these attachments on my cheek and an attachment on my lip. So I ended up having a revision of all of those things. But it's like just one thing after another. It's a learning process.
So what is a posterior tongue tie versus anterior tongue tie?
The anterior would just be like the frenulum. It, once you cut the frenulum and it's restricted. And I think that's where going to a specialist is so important, because they know what tongue mobility looks like. They know what a truly free and released tongue looks like. If you're looking, just because you can't stick out your tongue doesn't mean you're tongue tied. It's looking at the airway. It's looking at the resting position, looking at the mobility. And so for me, I could open my mouth and I could barely stick my tongue out. So it's very obvious. But once that was released, you look deeper. And now even though that's released, I could still not lift my tongue. I thought I was like this free wild tongue, because now I could touch the roof of my mouth with the tip of my tongue, not with my whole tongue, just with the tip of my tongue. So then I'm like, oh, you need to be able to push the middle of your tongue up. Oh, well, why is that important? Because food needs to move like a dump truck, needs to lift up and push the food back, push the water back. I love my myofunctional therapist because her visuals, her visual explanations, I'm like, oh yeah, dump truck. Like I can picture that. It's just kind of flushing all the food and water back. But if I don't have the release of that musculature, now my tongue can't touch in the mid part, in the highest part of my palate, which is extremely high because of not having that spreading of the palate. It's got higher to reach. So it's got to get way up there. So some people, I know Zach Couples is going through a palate expansion right now, and he had a tongue tie release. I think he's like 35 or 36 as well. So it's one of those things my dentist think, or my ENT thinks, if I, in a year, I'm still having like issues touching the roof of my mouth or swallowing or whatever, that then maybe looking at something like a palate expansion. But I did a scan of my airway and he said it looks good. And I'm feeling like, you know, bones shifting in my face, which is a good thing. It's been weird afterwards, the little headaches or like jaw pain, because it's like the tectonic plates on, you know, the earth, things are shifting and moving. There's not a fixed point in your skull. So doing things like the Rolfing and the craniosacral as my palate continues to expand, because now my tongue is pushing up and it is able to expand because there's that contact now. And I think James Nestor explains it really well in Breath, of how, you know, he was very skeptical of even being able to expand his palate at his age. Like, I can't grow new bone in my mouth. That's crazy. So the roof of the mouth, you have those palatine bones that have a suture in the middle. It's not like fused, it's just a suture. And as you expand, that bone slowly grows so you can widen your palate. And as you do that, I never had that. So my sinuses, why did I have sinus infections? Why did I have such narrow nostrils, this narrow little face? Well, my facial bones never expanded. And so by the age of, I think, 5, your facial development is like 50% complete. Mm-hmm. So if you don't get a release before that age, your bones are kind of settling into this position. It doesn't mean they're always going to be there. So I think it'll be interesting to see a year from now, like if my face, my husband's like, is your face going to look weird after this? Like, what's going to happen? I'm like, no, it's like subtle. It's like, you know, cheeks are fuller. My jaw descends a little bit. My palate descends a little bit. And there's maybe a little bit more room for my teeth, and it won't feel like my head's screwed on too tight because my, you know, all my bones are just like squeezing, which was for me the biggest release that I felt as soon as he made the first suture, or the first cut. That was when I knew the difference between the posterior, felt the difference between the posterior and anterior, is that those columns of muscle are so strong. It was like, that was my postural like resting point and reference for my whole body. And it got really strong, even though it was in this shortened position. And so as soon as he cut through that deeper muscle, that genioglossus, that lower tongue muscle, goes all the way down through here into that like omohyoid, and then the muscles of the omohyoid. I mean, I've had some thyroid, like questionable, maybe Hashimoto's issue. And I'm like, oh my God, it's because of the position of my omohyoid bone, like on my thyroid.
That's so interesting. Influence.
I was having acid reflux. I hiccuped all the time, had the weirdest, it's like a burp and a hiccup combined whenever I drink anything carbonated, like just like crazy loud where everyone's like, are you okay? Those little things, I'm like, that's all positional, which I helped get a better understanding of through the PRI. It's like that esophagus and trachea position influences airflow, which influences gut, which influences, you know, the pressure and your internal pressure. And so learning like all of those weird little things that I was doing, I'm like, oh, that's why I would have a muscle spasm when I was stressed. So when I was stressed, I was in more of that like hyperventilative breathing pattern. My head is forward to get more air now. My shoulders are back. I'm clenching down on my shoulder blades and gripping with everything in me. I think my strong butt and my strong back from volleyball saved me from having any low back issues, because I was just living out here trying to get a freaking breath of air. And I would have these spasms right on the tip of my shoulder blade, so bad that I ended up getting like just an injection of anti-inflammatory, because it was like constant spasming. Then I go to the Rolfer, and I had tried a Bowen specialist. I don't know if you've heard of that. And she was like, oh, well, yeah, your omohyoid muscle attaches there to the tip of your scapula. And I'm like,
stuff is
oh
connected.
My God, what? Yeah. So my weird shoulder pain was related to the stressful time. It was like right before my wedding. I'm like planning and stressed and like not sleeping and still working a full schedule. And that heightened stress changed my breathing pattern, which then put me in a more forward head position that put strain on my omohyoid and was hurting my weird little spasms in my back that I didn't know what they were. So the posterior tie is that deep, deep musculature. And it was interesting. I actually videoed like the whole procedure, because I was like so curious as to like what the difference was. And I wanted to see, like, I mean, I'm skeptical. I was skeptical still, like hopeful. I didn't want to be overly hopeful that like, oh, you're going to cut my tongue and all of a sudden I'm going to be a new person. Because everyone I've heard responds differently. Some people, they feel fine. Other people, I think that if you're someone who is like into fitness and into like body working and anatomy, you're going to be just like automatically more aware of those changes, maybe the little changes. And those are the things that I'm like, the fact that I'm not hiccuping or having like the weird choking happen as much, like the heartburn isn't happening as much. I'm sleeping better. My back isn't hurting. I can squat deeper. Like those little things, when I clench my butt now, instead of getting a release on both sides of my coccyx, I just get a release on my right side. Then I'm like, oh, PRI, right side. What's going on there? So it's just interesting to feel the things that are changing. And then I'm still processing things that have changed, because I wasn't even aware, like, oh, I don't squeeze my butt when I'm doing the dishes anymore. Like I have like a relaxed posture back in my heels because my tongue is back and released. Right. When that tongue is tight and forward, it's like it pulls my whole position forward. And then I played a sport for years where you're, you know, forward, down in like a crouch position, jump up, and then you're right back down. And so everything mm-hmm. was like really, really, really strong, but in this position. And so I'm kind of like unlearning all of that now and relearning the swallowing, the breathing, the not using my face. I was recognizing yesterday, I can relax now without using my neck muscles to swallow. I used to like so much neck work. And I'm like, when she was first saying that, I'm like, dude, what does that matter? What are you talking about? Like, I'm just skeptical of everything, you know, until it's like, I feel the change. And I think that that's most people. It's like, I don't believe this until I see results. I was like, okay, well, I feel better, and I haven't had a sinus infection in a year, which has never happened in my entire life. And I'm not waking up with aches and pains. And then I'm like, wait, have I always woke up in the morning and had like my plantar fasciitis? That's another thing that it's like, huh, your tongue is the most upward, forward part of that deep line fascia. And it ends in your feet with that plantar fascia. So my plantar fasciitis was because I was tongue tied, and I also was doing a sport that was jumping all the time. Oh, okay. Like those little things that I'm like, remembering all these aches and pains that now I'm like, oh, that's gone. Oh, that's right. I haven't had that in a while. And I'm a motto that I've like just always had is just celebrate like the tiny victories. And so for me, those little things are like huge because it's recognizing a change on like a, just a whole picture level, not just like, okay, my tongue is free now. Great. Like, I think it's the understanding of the endless benefits that come from being able to keep my mouth closed when I sleep, being able to like tap into that vagus nerve. Why did I bite my nails? Why did I love my pacifier till I was like five? Nothing was touching the roof of my mouth. Nothing was calming my nervous system. And so I'm learning how to use my breath came before learning how to use my tongue. And even, you know, coaching people how to do balloon breathing. Okay, put the tongue, place the tongue there, close the lips, keep the tongue on the, you know, front of the teeth to close the airway, tongue on the roof of the mouth. I'm saying all these things and I'm not realizing like, oh, that's not where everyone puts their tongue. It's not just like the back of their teeth. Everyone puts the tongue like actually on the roof of their mouth. So it's just been interesting, like feeling all those little changes and how as a whole structure, it's like making some really big changes as a whole. And for me, I think one of the major motivations was after seeing so many of my clients that had C-sections, I was so stuck. I have no kids, but I'm like, damn, I'm looking at all these people who had C-sections and I'm looking at they're stuck in a super PEC pattern with just like everything out. I mean, I was a king. Oh, my husband, again, the things that he like lovingly makes, you're like a little bulldog. You just walk around like a little bulldog, like chest out, butt out, walking around. I'm like, oh yeah, that's because like, that's the only way I could move. Like, that was actually the only way I could function. But if I'm stuck in that and I cannot, I thought I was tucking my hips under. I thought when I did a glute bridge, I was able to get that posterior tilt. And now I'm like, oh, that's what that feels like. Oh, okay. I was faking it before. Cool. So in terms of like birth and digestion, you know, it's like you want to stack up the tubes so that plumbing can flush out easily. And if that there's a kink in that hose, you know, you got the hose out here and the exit's back there, there's going to be a fire escape. And that fire escape is a C-section or some serious tearing in labor. A lot of the moms that I work with now who are either postpartum, you know, within a year or 10, 15, I've got 35-year-old sons. Their body is still stuck in that posture and remembers the trauma of a traumatic birth, not to mention probably what that child's head feels like from a cranial sacral perspective of going through a traumatic vaginal canal birth. Just the trauma that I wanted to avoid with pregnancy. I'm like, if I can do something now before I even have kids to prepare my body for birth, like my gut is in a terrible state. What would want to live inside of me right now? Because I don't want to live inside of me right now. It's a horrible place to live. I'm in pain all the time. I'm aching. And then it's like this perception that that's just what you do is you suffer as a woman when you're pregnant and you, that's normal. It's normalized. Oh, I can't even tell you like relatives, clients, whatever. Like, oh, I just pee when I jump rope now, you know, kids. It's like, no.
I know.
That's not okay. Normal. Let's stop normalizing that. And I think I love all the professionals that I've connected with because they're like spreading that message of like, you don't have to live like this. Your doctor told you that you should never squat again after you had a baby. Did they tell you to see a pelvic floor specialist? Did they tell you that strength training your position? And maybe it's that, again, it's the collaboration, right? Like I love working with my clients, physical therapists. I love working with our volleyball team's athletic trainers because together we can understand how to best serve that body. And if you're only looking at one perspective, then you're missing out on the bigger picture and you're not really going to heal someone's body. Fixing my teeth and making them look straight is not going to make my jaw better because now I'm just clenching and grinding because my jaw still wants to come forward because I still, my brain is still trying to find air. So I think for me, just that realization of, oh, I can change my body now before I've had kids so that I don't have a painful pregnancy, so that I can actually give birth, because I had C-section written all over me beforehand. It's not like anything anyone wants or chooses, but like if your body is stuck in that position there ain't no way a head's coming out trying to push through a pelvis that's facing this way and a baby that wants to go this way. The exit's that way and baby's going straight down whether there's a blockage there or not.
Yeah.
So for me, that was one thing that I just kind of started to reflect on is like, if I could improve my host body before pregnancy, then I think that like I'll feel better regardless. And then I'll be a better host and a happier mom. I mean, no one's happy when they're in pain. And I definitely wasn't a happy person when I was having the gut issues and my back was hurting and my feet were hurting. And so, yeah, it's like healing from the inside out, but then using kind of a holistic approach, which is, I'm all about it.
Me too. You touched on something interesting about PRI. So you did PRI techniques before you got your tongue released.
Yeah.
And I think that is something that people don't realize, that whatever's going on in your head, your posture will affect it. You talked a lot about that too. But yeah, I just wanted you to talk just quickly about why doing PRI before.
Oof.
And yeah, it's kind of so, in depth. So I know people talk about not getting the release because, you know, you could work on other things in PRI and then you could get better. But I guess it's very person specific.
And for me, I could feel that I could never get to neutral. I could get close. I could hold it for a second and fake it. But I was bracing. I was, you know, I'm an athlete. So you tell me you want a result, I'm going to find a way to get you that result. You want me to feel left abs? Oh, I'm going to feel, I don't care. I'm going to feel them.
Yeah.
I'm going to check our rib cage. I'm going to do it. But the reality is those obliques are not working when I need them to work. They're not. And part of the integration is I was already doing all the techniques to try to get myself out of pain. So it was more of a coincidence, the timing. If I had found out about the tongue tie release, I'd never heard about PRI. I probably wouldn't have even thought about it. And I probably wouldn't have the same results that I have now. The integration, one, was on part of the ENT, the Breathe Institute, requires that you're doing myofunctional therapy currently, because it's like, you don't want a fat loss client who is like, hey, I'm going to sign up to work with you, but I'm also like not going to work out or eat anything you tell me to. And then I'm going to complain about the results because it's your fault that I'm not losing weight because I'm eating ice cream all day and also not moving. That's the kind of approach with the myofunctional therapy. I'm not going to do the surgery unless you're doing the exercises to increase strength and mobility before and after, because that's the retraining. If you have a knee surgery, you're going to retrain those muscles around the knee to support that change in your body. If you have a hamstring tear, you're going to do rehab to strengthen it, to rebuild everything around that muscle. So why wouldn't you treat your tongue the same way? Because it's not going to move. It doesn't know what to do. It's not like, oh, I'm free. Now I know how to do this. Now I know, look, I can do all these things all of a sudden. It's like, I have to think. I've never like sat there and gone, I have to think about swallowing while I'm smiling. Did I do it? I don't know. I have to watch it in a mirror. So the fact that the Institute required me to do the myofunctional therapy, I didn't even know what it was if it wasn't for the local dentist who referred me to it. And then the PRI came into play because I had talked to Ron. And when Ron tells me something, I'm listening. So I'd gone to, in February, the I&I course in Georgia. And it was the kind of the first revamped version of the I&I course that had been done, I don't know, in how many years. I'd never taken it before. So it was my first time and it was with Ron. And I was like, okay, just get ready to like have your head hurt for like a week afterwards. Just like reevaluate everything you thought about everything. Impingement. So impingement and instability is the I&I course. And a lot of integrated techniques, integrating like that oscillation and moving back and forth. And it was interesting to me. He had said, I told him, hey, what's your opinion? What do you think about this tongue tie release stuff? You know, tell me what you think, honestly, is this worth it? Or am I just like wasting my money and time? Because at the time I had like just scheduled, it was February. I think it was about the same time as I had my first myofunctional therapy appointment. I was looking at scheduling my surgery, but I wasn't really sure. And he was like, I think it's great if you just hammer your integrated exercises afterwards, because you need to get your body moving and oscillating with that new position and gaining a new sense of sensory for the ground. And from a fitness perspective, it's like, okay, we understand that our feet are what tells our brain what's going on in the world. When you release that forward fascia and it's pulling me forward, all of a sudden it was like someone just slingshotted me back in my heels. I was wearing my tennis shoes they were like, my comfy shoes. These are the ones I love standing in for 12 hours a day. They felt like I was wearing someone else's shoes after the surgery. Wow. It wasn't like a week after. It was like the next day I put the shoes on and I was like, these don't feel like my tennis shoes. This is weird. Because my whole sense of awareness, the ground changed as that shift in my body happened. And unless you start to integrate your brain with your body, with the ground and what it's feeling, you're not going to establish that new sense of the new holding pattern, that new stronger position. Because I was really strong here and I still feel like we just drove down here. And it's like a 9-hour drive from Northern California. We're like stopping to get gas. And my husband's like, you're squinching your butt again. I'm like, what do you mean? Like once I'm in positions for some, you know, sitting in the car, yeah. Uncomfortable, I get uncomfortable. Can't I'm not perfect. Back. My back tightens up, my legs go out. So my butt's tight because my femurs are externally rotating. And then I stand up and he's like, stop squinching your butt. You're squinching your butt. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm doing it. Oh, I need to just get down in a little squat position, open up, inhale my back and I did some little retro walking at the next gas station we went to. I'm the weirdo. You see me at a gas station doing the weirdest shit in the world because I'm like stuck. And that's, if you don't start to do that integrated approach after a release or, you know, any major surgery for that matter, it's that neurological association with position. It's going to go back to what's comfortable. If I don't do the myofunctional therapy, my tongue is going to go back to sitting on the floor of my mouth and be totally happy there. If I don't start to integrate this new position, this new expansion, and really I could never like put my finger behind my jaw. I have so much more room in my face, in my head, in my airway that I need to start integrating that and the contact of the tongue on the roof of the mouth with the floor to create this like stability, this sense of stability in my whole body. To me, it's not just the body position, but it's that neurological, like tap into that vagus nerve. Yeah. Find that new calm, that new, and it's funny, so on point, but like the things he observes about me are so on point in like honest way, like, oh, your face doesn't look so tight anymore. You just looked, your face. And I'm like, I think you're complimenting me, but it kind of sounds like an insult. I'm not sure, but it's true. Okay. Like my face is relaxed. I'm not, you know, having to hold my lips together or hold my jaw together. I am still taping my mouth shut. And I talked to my myofunctional therapist about that yesterday. Like, well, shouldn't I just be able to do that now? I had a lip tie. So the lip tie, it attached like right at the tip of my gums all the way to the tip of my lip. And so you can see a little bit of that remainder, but it used to be all the way down to here. So my lip was even, I've expanded the length of my upper lip. So it's easier to close my mouth now, but it's just not very strong. And actually when that was released, I felt an immediate release in my right nostril opening up and getting more air. Like as soon as he clipped it, I was like, what was that? What happened?
Oh, wow.
Why can I breathe? And my nostrils, I need to do a side-by-side of my nostrils. Because if you breathe in through your nose, you know, you can kind of get your nostrils to stick together or not. If you have normal nostrils, you can't. But my skinny little nose, I used to be able to do this and just suction my nostrils to my nose.
Because, oh my gosh.
Because my nose was so narrow, there was like no space. And I have a nose ring on this side, which is probably the only reason I can't do it on that side. So just noticing like the immediate release of tension throughout my whole face. And now teaching those muscles not to work harder than they have to. Like they should just be smiling and keeping my lips closed. They shouldn't be helping me chew and swallow.
So, on that note, our last question that we wanted you to kind of touch on, you kind of already said this, but what do you do every day to move your brain and your body? I mean, clearly you move your brain a lot because I've literally like my jaw has dropped because it can. Like this whole podcast.
My jaw has dropped because it can. That's hilarious. Yeah.
And I can touch the roof of my mouth.
I'm learning to drop my jaw.
Yeah, you don't have tongue tie, Megan.
I know I don't, but it's just crazy that it's like, because obviously it doesn't matter. So why would I know that this would be affecting people to this extent?
Yeah,
but I
exactly.
can think of people that I think may have it actually.
Totally.
And obviously it affects you from birth. So anyway.
I think people don't realize how much it can affect. Like, I mean, even for me, when I kind of found out a little bit about mine, my best friend used to always make fun of me for eating off the fork. Like I'd hit my teeth on the fork. And I always just thought like, doesn't everybody do
my
that?
My best friend made fun of me for that too.
And it's just,
and the fact, you know, why do you always have shit in your teeth? why can't you just lick your, yeah. you always have something it's on your lip.
Really lick it has, off. I'm like, yeah, it has a lot. A lot of people have it, I think, and just interesting things to be aware of. But anyway, yeah, tell us about how you move your brain and move your body, even though you kind of said a lot about it already.
For me, I think I've made this shift from, you know, this overdrive, nervous system overdrive, needing more, work out harder, lose weight, get strong, look great, into more of a like, okay, I need to feel better. What do I need to feel better? And for me, that's integrating positions and movement all day long. So I may not have time. I didn't have time yesterday to do a workout. I did a couple exercises with clients and then sitting in the car using the gas station. How am I sitting at my desk if I'm now doing more remote programming and online programming than ever before? How am I sitting at my desk? That's influencing my posture. If I'm focusing on the daily activities for me, I'm going to help move my brain better. Every time I go upstairs, if I go up backwards one time instead of forwards, that's going to help me. That's if awesome. I just walk backwards and do a little, you know, contralateral toe touch, that's going to help me. So for me, moving my body, my routine, it has been to slow down and to focus on healing right now. I think that it's important to recognize the season of life that you're in. I was in a very competitive high level, and I think you guys can both relate to that, Alina, yeah. with the powerlifting and I think
totally
gymnastics too. When you start so young, it's like,
yeah,
harder, stronger, go fast. And I am definitely in a season of healing and recognizing what my body needs and listening. And so for me, moving my body and moving my brain together is more important, and learning how to slow down, do a workout. When I do my workouts, I'm not doing AMRAP as fast as you can. Go, 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 go. I loved CrossFit. I CrossFit Rob Wolf back in 2000, flipping those tires. And I love it. I still love those type of workouts, but that's just not what's right for me right now. And I think that it's really important for people to understand it doesn't make it, you're not lazy. You're not stupid. You're doing what you need for your body right now. And sometimes that means slow the fuck down.
Yeah.
Stop, chill. You know, I mean, what my body needs? I need to go walk my dog on the beach tonight. I need to sit out in the sun and just do some nasal breathing. I need to read a book instead of watch a movie. So for me, the moving your brain and moving your body lately has been really integrated in taking what I'm learning with my brain and actually applying it to myself. And I think that, you know, we end up being passionate about the things that we feel has made the most impact in our lives. And I think that's why all three of us love fitness and movement, is we're like, oh my God, this is helping me so much. I want to help other people. And so I think the education part has now kind of molded with the movement part. My brain and my body move together.
That's amazing.
For me, it's using those things all day long. And then I don't feel guilty. If you find little things to do throughout the day, maybe you're not doing your stretches that your PT told you, but like, I'm standing in line the way that my PT told me, or my personal trainer told me I need to do X, Y, and Z at the end of the night to sleep better so that I can have a better workout in the morning. Great. Do those things. Do those little things throughout the day. And that for me has been the aspect of moving my body that I'm focusing on, is listening to my physical therapist, listening to my myofunctional, listening to, you know, my body, and understanding that movement doesn't have to come in the beat the shit out of yourself form all the time to feel good. I actually feel better in my body right now. I'm heavier than I've ever been. I'm working out less than I've ever worked out, and I feel less pain, less stress. I'm sleeping better. And I think it's important to recognize there's not just one path. It's not this equation that's perfection. You do this, this, and this. This is what I need right now. And that's how I'm going to find my next chapter, or my next season of maybe I'm working harder. Maybe there's another goal that is more fitness focused, but I'm not going to get there unless I heal right now. So that's right. That's my season.
Awesome. Amazing.
I think that'll be really helpful for people to listen to too, because I know it's hard to do that. So
there's so much guilt around, like, I missed my workout. I need to work out. I didn't have time today. But then give yourself the tiny victories. Go back to the tiny victories. If you did one thing today to help you move better, if you took your dog for a walk and got out of the house away from your kids for a second, that's a win. That's one thing that you did, and recognize that instead of the list of negative things. We're so good at recognizing those negative things, and it drives our nervous system into overdrive. So we need to consciously remember the good things, because we don't have to try to remember the bad things or the negative associations. That happens naturally. we need to consciously kind of honor our body and have that gratitude for the things that we are able to accomplish.
This episode was filled with so much great information, and
I feel like I was all over the place. There's so much.
No, it was great. There's so much, and you just went really into everything that you've been through, and I think it's really going to help a lot of people. So that's what we strive to do. And people can find you on Instagram, right? It's Crystal Thomas Fit.
Yes, ma'am.
Perfect. So yeah. Thank you so much for coming on our podcast.
No, I'm so happy. It's fun to hang out with you guys.
Yeah,
thank you. I wish I was with you. It looks beautiful there.
I know. I will soak up some rays for you guys today.
Thank you.
I'm in much need of that vitamin D. That's my move, my body today. Just walking in the sunshine.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Move Your Brain, Move Your Body podcast. Join in every week as we release new episodes.
Subscribe or leave us a rating at Apple Podcasts. If you have questions or topics to cover, please email moveyourbb@gmail.com or follow us on Instagram @moveyourbb.